To introduce our lesson, we want to read from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. We want to read verses 35 through 39. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. In the book of Acts, the inspired writer Luke recorded some valuable information having to do with the history of the early church. Any study of the church would include a careful examination of the information found in the book of Acts. But as Luke was recording valuable information concerning the history of the early church, he wrote about a number of conversions that took place in various places. You see, the Lord, just before he ascended to heaven, gave what we call the Great Commission. He told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As a matter of fact, that's the way that the book of Acts begins. The Lord gave a detailed plan for carrying out his Great Commission. The apostles were to begin in Jerusalem, then they were to go throughout Judea, then to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The book of Acts shows how that plan was carried out. But in Acts chapter 8, we find recorded for us the conversion of a man from Ethiopia. You see, prior to this, Jewish people had been converted in Jerusalem. The gospel had been carried to the Samaritans. Now we're going to find that a man from Africa is going to become a Christian. And then in Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles had the opportunity to become Christians. That was the Lord's plan, for everyone to hear the gospel and to become his followers. In our lesson, we're especially interested in the fact that this man who became a Christian, the eunuch from Ethiopia, went on his way rejoicing. That statement is found in the latter part of verse 39. We want to emphasize that particular point. He went on his way rejoicing. You know, we hear a lot of bad news today, don't we? It's refreshing to hear some good news. Well, this is a wonderful story of conversion that's recorded for us in the book of Acts. A man who was searching found something very special through the providence of God. And after he found it, he was a happy man. I know that the English language did not exist when this man was converted. And I know that the song that we just sang had not been written when this man was converted. But in my mind, I can almost see this man riding in his chariot back to Ethiopia. You see, he'd been to Jerusalem. Now he's returning home to Ethiopia. I can almost imagine him in my mind singing, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Like I said, I know that the English language did not exist back then. And I know that that song had not been written at that time. But he was rejoicing. We know that. The scriptures explain in detail why joy is associated with becoming a Christian. Now, there are many reasons given in the Bible why a person is to rejoice when he becomes a Christian. We don't have the time to look at all of those reasons, but we do want to make five observations from the scriptures concerning why this man was rejoicing as he went on his way. I think this is where we need to begin, because some of the other reasons are actually based on this particular point. One reason why the eunuch went on his way rejoicing was that he was in Christ. Now that's a very important point. This is going to serve as the basis for some of the other points that we'll be making. The man was in Christ. Now, I didn't take the time to read the verses recorded in Acts chapter 8 before verse 35, but if you'll take a look at the information that Luke recorded, you will see that the eunuch learned about Christ. He had been to Jerusalem. He is returning home to Ethiopia. The Lord saw to it that a man named Philip came in contact with him. Philip had been in Samaria where he was doing a great work. But the Lord sent him to this deserted area, and it just so happened that this man was traveling from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, and Philip came in contact with him. Well, the Bible teaches that Philip preached Christ to the man. He preached Jesus to the man. Now, as the man was traveling in his chariot, he was reading from the book of Isaiah. We know what section of Isaiah he was reading because it was recorded for us. In our Bibles, it's designated as chapter 53, where Isaiah wrote in detail about the crucifixion of our Lord. Well, Philip asked the man if he understood what he was reading. He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" He didn't know if Isaiah was writing about himself or someone else. He needed some help. That's where Philip entered the picture. He taught this man about Christ. I've always thought that was a golden opportunity given to Philip. The man was studying from the scriptures, and Philip started right there in the book of Isaiah and preached Jesus to this man. Well, as they came unto a certain water, the eunuch wanted to be baptized, and Philip baptized him. Now, according to Galatians 3 and verse 27, it is at the point of baptism that we get into Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, there are two passages in the New Testament that teach us how to get into Christ. This is one of them. Later on, we'll look at the verses found in Romans chapter 6. But notice that Paul, the inspired writer of the book of Galatians, said that we're baptized into Christ. Well, we know that Philip baptized the eunuch. According to what's written in Galatians 3 and verse 27, when he was baptized, he was in Christ. Prior to his baptism, he was a religious man, but he was not in Christ. Well, thankfully, Philip preached to this man, helped him understand God's will, and when he learned it, he obeyed. Now, that's faith. He didn't question. He didn't want to argue. He just simply did what the scriptures teach. Now, being in Christ is a reason to rejoice. That's one reason why he went on his way rejoicing, because he was in Christ. Now, prior to this, and we've looked at these verses on other occasions and explained them in great detail, but prior to Philip coming in contact with the eunuch, he had driven a chariot all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Now, I have read that that's about 1,500 miles. He had gone to Jerusalem for the purpose of worshiping. Now, you have to need to know something about the Jewish religion to appreciate this. You see, all male Jews were required to go to Jerusalem to worship for three great feasts each year: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Now, this man was not a native Jew. He was from Ethiopia. More than likely, he was a proselyte to the Jewish religion. Now, The man was a eunuch. Not being a native Jew and being a eunuch, he would be allowed to go to Jerusalem to worship, but when he went to the temple, he would not be permitted to go into the inner courts. He'd have to stand outside. Imagine putting all of that effort, going from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship, and then not be allowed to go into the inner courts. Well, he found something much better than the Jewish religion. He learned about Christ. He was baptized into him. And no doubt because he was in Christ, that's one reason why he went on his way rejoicing. Well, let's look at another point. The eunuch was a new creature. Now, this is based on being in Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and read verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, when we get into Christ by being baptized into him, it is at that point that we become new creatures. And as a new creature, all things had passed away in the life of this man. I wish I knew his name, but I don't because it's not recorded. So I have to refer to him as the eunuch of Ethiopia. After being baptized into Christ, he became a new creature. And in that sense, all things had passed away. I'd like to know how many times I've heard people over the years tell me, "Oh, I wish I could just start all over again." Matter of fact, I've said that a time or two. Have you? One of the blessings associated with becoming a Christian is that old things are passed away. The past is gone. Now, the Bible teaches that when we're baptized, we receive the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Remission means forgiveness or removal of sins. And this man enjoyed that blessing. When he was baptized, not only was he in Christ, but he became a new creature. And as a new creature, all things had passed away. All of his transgressions of God's will from the past were removed. That's one of the features of the new covenant that's discussed in great detail in the book of Hebrews. I think it's interesting that the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 31, prophesied that at a later time, God would make a new covenant with his people. And he showed that that new covenant would be far greater than the one that he gave through Moses. One of the features of this new covenant is that their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And that passage is quoted in Hebrews 10 and verse 17. That's one of the features under the new covenant. When God forgives, he forgets. You see, under the Old Testament system, the children of Israel had to observe the Day of Atonement. Each year, their sins were remembered. Under the new covenant of Christ, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. This man had received a clean slate. He became a new creature. Well, that's part of it. As a new creature, all things became new. With the past gone, this man was able to walk in newness of life. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 and read verses 3 and 4. Now, this is the other passage which shows that we're baptized into Christ. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice especially that at the latter part of verse 4, it mentions walking in newness of life. That's a blessing associated with becoming a new creature. All things are passed away, all things are become new. This man had become a child of God. Let's notice what John wrote, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, that is the Lord, to them gave he power to become the sons or children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This man became a child of God. He was a new creature. Well, being a new creature is a very good reason to rejoice. Let's look at a third point. This is another reason why the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. We know that he was in Christ. We know that he was a new creature. But being in Christ and being a new creature, this brings us to our third point. He gained access to all spiritual blessings. Let's look at Ephesians 1 in verse 3. And notice where all spiritual blessings are found. Ephesians 1 in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Who is the giver of all spiritual blessings? Well, God is. Where are they found? They are found in Christ. We've already established the fact that this man was in Christ. Being in Christ, he was a new creature, and now he had access to all spiritual blessings. Well, the eunuch was worshiping under the Old Testament system. That's why he had traveled to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning home. Well, the Bible teaches that the law of Moses did not provide the blessings that the Lord provides. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and read a few verses starting at verse 24. Now, we've already read verse 27, but let's look at the context in a little bit more detail. Galatians 3, starting at verse 24. Now, you need to remember that the churches in Galatia had been influenced by some who were trying to get these Christians to go back under the law of Moses. They were especially concerned about having Gentile Christians submit to circumcision. Well, the Apostle Paul was known as the Apostle to the Gentiles. He showed that under the new covenant of Christ, circumcision, that is physical circumcision, was no longer important. It was a very important part of the Old Testament system, but not so under the new covenant of Christ. Well, let's notice what's written concerning the law and about how we've been delivered from it. Galatians 3, starting at verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, way back in Genesis chapter 12, God made some special promises to Abraham. He promised that he would make of him a great nation, which he did. He promised to give that nation of people a land, which he did. But God also said, in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Later on, he said, all families of the earth. You see, God intended for Gentiles to be blessed through Abraham as well as the Jews. Now, the Jews received the physical benefit of the promise made. They received the land of Canaan, and Abraham's seed developed into a mighty nation. But I think you'll also find this in the book of Galatians. That promise made to Abraham concerning his seed had reference to Christ. How that all families of the earth are blessed through him. Well, that's a great blessing. You see, the law of Moses did not provide the blessings that Christ provided. Now, the law served its purpose. It brought us unto Christ. When Jesus died, the old law was fulfilled. Colossians 2 and verse 14 says, at that point, the Lord nailed that law to his cross. He fulfilled it. It was taken out of the way, and his new covenant went into effect. Well, we understand the importance of having a will, don't we? Well, the person who prepares the will, as long as he's alive, will that will go into effect? No, we understand that. In order for that will to become effective, to be carried out, the person who prepared it must pass away. We understand that when it comes to a will. Well, the Bible talks about the will of the Lord and the old covenant. The law of Moses served its purpose. It brought us unto Christ. But when Christ died, the old was taken out of the way, and his new covenant went into effect. And his new covenant is far greater than the old. We've already seen that one of the great features of the new covenant is, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Well, under the Old Testament system, this eunuch did not have access to all spiritual blessings. But when he got into Christ, when he was baptized into the Lord, he gained access to all of those spiritual blessings from God that are found in Christ. Now, thankfully, the Lord came to redeem us from the law. Listen to Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ made us free from the law of Moses, and the new covenant reveals all of those great spiritual blessings. When this man was baptized into Christ, he had access to all of those blessings. Do you suppose that's one reason why he went on his way rejoicing? Well, we don't have time this morning to talk about all of those blessings. They're listed for us in Ephesians 1 and 2. They're very special. Let's consider a fourth matter. This is another reason why he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch was blessed with a very special mediator. Now, a mediator is one who serves as a go-between. And the Bible identifies our mediator. He's identified in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5 says, this is the Apostle Paul writing once again, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, we know who our mediator is. Prior to getting into Christ, this man did not have the Lord as his mediator. But he gained that very special mediator. Consequently, I believe that's one reason why he went on his way rejoicing. Now, we have the privilege of praying to the Father through Christ. Jesus taught his followers to ask the Father in his name. Well, we pray to the Father, but as we do so, we pray through Christ, who is our mediator. And as our mediator, Christ is our high priest. And because of what he went through here on earth during his ministry, he's able to empathize with us in our weaknesses. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 for just a moment. Hebrews 4, we'll start at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our Lord is able to empathize with us in our weaknesses because of the experiences that he had as he fulfilled his ministry. He was tempted in all points like as we are, but the Lord faced his temptations without giving in. He never sinned. Well, we're encouraged to go to him for help. If we will approach his throne of grace with confidence or boldness, as the Bible says, we can receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. And we're, of course, able to approach the Lord for rest. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a very special kind of rest. I like to refer to it as tranquility of the soul. The Lord is the one who provides it. Well, the eunuch now had a very special mediator. Do you suppose that's the reason why he went on his way rejoicing? You know, we all need to, from time to time, turn to someone for help. I received a call just last week. Someone needed some assistance. I tried to provide that assistance. And it's interesting that this particular man that I talked to had tried to find help from someone else. And he didn't get it. Thankfully, I was able to help him out. Now, how do you suppose that man's going to feel toward me? Well, I can give you an idea how he feels because he's already told me. Well, think about the eunuch. He had been approaching God through the Old Testament system. That had been taken away. He didn't know it, but he had to be taught. Philip taught him, and he became a Christian. And as such, he gained a very special mediator, one who would help him. He didn't have that under the law of Moses, but he gained that. What a blessing it is to be able to turn to the Lord and have the confidence that he will help us. Well, having a special mediator is a reason to rejoice. Now let's look at our last point. The eunuch gained the hope of eternal life. That's a good reason to rejoice. Well, Christ made it possible for us to have this very special hope. That's brought out in Titus chapter 3. Let's read a few verses starting at verse 3. Titus chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 3. Now remember that Titus was an evangelist serving in the island of Crete. This letter was written to him for the purpose of helping him with his personal conduct, as well as providing information that he was responsible for teaching. So keep that in mind when you study from the book of Titus. Chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Now that was written about 2,000 years ago. It pretty much describes the situation that we have in our world today, doesn't it? You see, we can escape all that by becoming new creatures. And that leads us to verse 4. "But I'm glad for that contrast being made. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Christ made it possible for us to have the hope of eternal life. Now, as long as we're in the situation described in verse 3, there's no hope of eternal life there. But by being born again, we have the assurance of the hope of eternal life. These verses mention the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about the new birth in John chapter 3, and He said it consists of being born of water and of the Spirit. Well, that's what happened to the eunuch. He was born again. He was baptized into Christ. And at that point, he had the hope of eternal life. Now, eternal life in heaven is very special. I frankly admit to you, I would not want to live this life that we have here on earth forever. I'm afraid we have a lot of people today who think about that and just don't go on any longer. Now, I firmly believe that the Christian life is the best life that can possibly be enjoyed. But if eternal life consisted of living here on this earth in this present situation forever, no thank you. The Bible teaches that there's something better. This is eternal life in heaven. And in heaven, those things that cause us so much heartache in this life will have passed away. I know you've heard me read it many times, but I'll read it again because it's so special. Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I don't know how you look at that, but I see that as blessed assurance. That hope was gained by the eunuch when he was baptized into Christ. No wonder he went on his way rejoicing. Well, there are other reasons we could talk about, but I think these are sufficient for one particular lesson. Suffice it to say, the eunuch was a happy man after he was baptized. We've examined five reasons why he rejoiced as he went on his way. He was in Christ. He was a new creature. He gained access to all spiritual blessings. He was blessed with a special mediator. And he gained the hope of eternal life. Now that joy is available to all when we're baptized into the Lord. Now, you might be thinking, "Raymond, I've been baptized into Christ. How does this lesson help me?" Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because the Bible teaches God's people to rejoice always. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now, that was written to Christians. What What are some things that will help us to rejoice always? These very blessings that we studied in connection with the eunuch. Being in Christ, being a new creature, having access to all spiritual blessings, having a special mediator, and having the hope of eternal life. Remembering those points will help us to continue rejoicing as we go through this life.